Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
8:22, Beningo on a Saturday. We'll be here till 9 o'clock when Chris McMonagle comes your way. Alex Azam on the other side of the glass. And joining us right now from Augusta National, the one and only, the great Ann Liguori, as we get ready for the Masters. Ann, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I love your intro.
One of the greats.
Happy gala, my friend.
Good. By the way, let me just mention this. You got to check out Ann's Talking Golf podcast, which is available on the Odyssey app. And I also want to tell, for people that don't know this, I know this is every year, Ann, you're there now. You got the women's amateur going on, right? That's going on.
That's
every year
right.
They have
it's
that
so
right
exciting.
Before the Masters.
I've been here for every one of them. This is the seventh rendition. And, the first group just teed off. But there are 48 of the top 50 amateurs
right.
in the world are here. They played the first two rounds at Champions Retreat. And then today's the championship round here at Augusta National. Mm. And get this, every player, whether they made the cut or not, and there's 72 players that started this thing, 32 players made the cut. But all 72 players, Joe, got to play a practice round yesterday here at Augusta
wow.
National, whether they made the cut or not.
Wow.
So very exciting. There's a 17-year-old named Asterisk Tally. That's right, Asterisk. Her name
is Asterisk.
Little
really?
Star.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has a one-shot lead going into this final round. She tees off at about 11 o'clock. But, boy, these women are good. They're so exciting to watch. And they come out for this championship round, for all the rounds. The place is, really the enthusiasm here. A lot of mothers and fathers with their young girls. And these amateurs are real inspirational and it's really popular. If you're in this tournament, people know who you are because they get so much attention. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, no, I know they have that every year. I was actually watching it a little bit the other day when I was bouncing around a little bit. We got to talk about that. We got to get into the first of all. I want to get your take on what happened with Tiger. What's your thoughts on that, Ann?
Well, it's very sad. I mean, he was going to be here to officially open a 9-hole municipal course that he designed called the Patch. In fact, I'm supposed to play it the Monday after. If I don't win the lottery to play Augusta National, we'll have to see about that. But, so we were actually supposed to see him here tomorrow night, and then he was planning on being at the Champions Dinner Tuesday night. And then I hear he had some other appearances planned way more than usual. But it's just very, very sad. And, of course, there was that huge possibility, a lot of anticipation that he was going to play, given the fact that he played in, his PGL team, Jupiter Lynx, in their finals match. I don't know if you watched that or not. But
no, I can't. So, the indoor golf stuff. Yeah, no, I know.
Right. So there was so much anticipation of his being here and maybe even playing. So, it's just very, very sad. Thank goodness nobody got hurt. The video from that arrest was played out everywhere on social media.
It was
just brutal to look at it. He's wearing his survival blanket in the police vehicle. You heard him hiccuping. At one point, it wasn't good. He was on the side of the road and said he was talking to the president of the United States. I know he's very good friends with President Trump.
Well, he's going out his son's ex-wife, right? I'm going out with young Don's ex-wife, so.
Right. They've been dating for a while.
Yep.
And, he was heard talking to police about how important the clubs in his trunk are and, to handle them carefully. And apparently his private plane landed in Geneva, Switzerland yesterday. So it's a good thing that he recognizes that he does have a problem with painkillers. We're assuming it's, the pain meds.
Right, yep.
And that he's getting help. So it's the best thing he could do, Joe. He needs to take time away and really think about his health and himself and get better. It's very, very sad, but it's he's doing the right thing right now.
Yeah, and no question about it. And I guess Phil's not going to be in the Masters either, right? I mean, he's got some kind of a personal issue, I guess, so he won't be there either.
That's right. That's right. He has, he keeps saying it's a personal health matter with his family.
Okay.
He has not gone into any detail, Phil Mickelson, but he did miss the first four live events as well. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time, Joe, since 1994, that neither Tiger nor Phil will play in the Masters. That's incredible.
Wow.
Neither will be here.
Yeah, that is incredible. And we're talking, of course, to Ann Liguori at Augusta right now. Of course, the Masters gets underway. Well, they have the nine-hole thing, or the part three thing on Wednesday. And then, of course, it'll all get underway on Thursday. So here's my pick. And I'm doing this basically based on the odds I'm going to get. And I'm not sure what the odds are with him yet. I'm telling you, here's my pick, and Justin Rose, who won at Torrey Pines earlier this year, and he's finished last year. He lost in the playoff last year to Rory. He lost in a playoff a years ago to Sergio Garcia. Maybe it's time for him to win. What do you think about Justin Rose next week?
He is incredible, right? I mean, just 45, I think he is.
Something like that. Yeah.
He almost won it last year. He almost beat Rory McIlroy last year. It was the most roller coaster, exciting Masters final. And yeah, he's dangerous. He is really dangerous. Yet last year on the 15th, Rory trailed Justin Rose by a shot.
Yep.
And then Rory hooked that incredible 7-iron around the trees to within 6 feet of the hole to birdie that to tie Justin Rose. At that point, and it was just Justin was amazing. They got to the playoff, and Rory hit that incredible shot, to win on the first hole of the playoff. But I can see Justin Rose being right in there. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Do you want to hear who my pick is?
Go ahead. Let me hear it.
All right. Well, I mean, this would be incredible. It'd be an incredible story. But I have to go with Chris Gutterup.
How about him? He's won twice already this year on the tour, right? He's won two tournaments this year already,
right? In his Masters debut, Joe, he has never played this championship. Now, I know that would be an incredible story if he were to win, but you know, he won the Sony Open this year.
Yep.
He won the Phoenix Open.
Yep.
He was tied for sixth at the Houston Open just last week. And, last year he won the Scottish Open and then was third in the Open Championship at Royal Portrush.
Right.
So can you imagine Chris, who played at Rutgers, as you know?
Yes, yeah, yep.
It would be, what a great story it would be for this 26-year-old in his Masters debut to win. So
yeah.
I think it would be fun just to pick him.
That's a good pick. I mean, he's, like I said, he's won two tournaments already this year. I mean, he's really played well. By the way, you mentioned Houston Open, the Children's Hospital last week in Houston. How about Gary Woodland? How about that? And he comes back from brain surgery to win that tournament last week. What a story, right? What a story that is.
It's so inspirational because, can you imagine he had brain surgery and then he admitted that, he's had issues afterwards. And he shared, the fact that, what's it called? I'm trying to think when he admitted he had a condition after the brain surgery. And he was holding this all in. And he said once he shared the fact that, he had this issue, it freed him up. And so what an inspiration, for Gary Woodland. And so obviously he's coming in with a lot of confidence. It would be great to see him do well here. And of course, you have to talk about Rory McIlroy.
Of course.
He's the defending champion. Looking at his season this year, he was tied for 14th at Pebble Beach. He came in second at the Genesis. And he actually withdrew, from the Arnold Palmer Invitational because he tweaked his back.
Right, at Bay Hill.
Yep. And then he came and played the Players' Championship and tied for 46th. So it will be interesting to see how he's physically doing and if he can, now that he is free, having won the career Grand Slam, last year with the Masters title, you know, joining what Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger, what a feat. And he was trying to do that for over a decade, trying to win that Masters title, which captured the career Grand Slam. So it will be interesting to see if, you know, what condition Rory's in. And then Scottie Scheffler, obviously Scottie, who has two Masters titles. He took some time off. His wife, you know, it hasn't really been announced yet, but she was supposed to give birth, but he hasn't played the last two tournaments. And, but I mean, this guy, you know, you can never count Scottie Scheffler.
He's had a very strange year. He won at La Quinta earlier in the year. And how many times have we seen this year? And he gets off to a terrible start, like in the opening round, makes the cut, like on the number, and then makes a big run in the last couple rounds only to come up short. I mean, we've seen that with Scheffler a few times so far this year.
Yeah, he's had a few slow starts, which is very un-Scotty-like.
Yep.
And actually, I asked him about that at the Arnold Palmer. I don't think he likes the question too much.
But, now, come on, he couldn't have got mad at you, Ann. Come on, who's getting mad at you, Ann? Come on.
Oh, come on. But, you know, he said it was just these higher rounds were just, in quotes, a sample size, he said, and he was not concerned. And, you know, we'll just look, he hasn't been the Scotty we've seen. Like in 2025, he won six tournaments, including PGA Championship and the Open Championship. The year before, he won seven, including his second Masters title. So, but look, he is capable of going out here this week and winning again. I mean, he's the favorite to win. So, you always want to see Scottie Scheffler play like Scottie Scheffler because he's the best ball striker out there. And when his putting is as good as it's been last year and the year before, he can dominate. So we'll see how he does this week.
Talking to the great Ann Liguori. She's, of course, out at the Augusta National right now as we get ready for the Masters getting underway on Thursday. You know what I'm happy about? We get to see the live people playing here. We got DeChambeau back. We got John Rahm in this tournament. You know, Patrick Reed, all these guys. I know Reed's trying to get back on the tour as well. Of course, Brooks Koepka's now back on the tour. But it's really good, especially DeChambeau, who I love. That's my favorite golfer, man. I love watching him play. DeChambeau just adds. The PGA Tour, if there's one guy, as great as Rahm is, you know, different guys on LIV, if the tour misses one guy, it's DeChambeau. You really do.
I love Bryson DeChambeau, and he certainly is a favorite here and everywhere he plays. And, you know, he won back-to-back tournaments on LIV.
Yes,
so
he's hot.
Coming in hot. Yep. He really is. He has a great chance with that power if he can, you know, keep his drives in the fairway and hone in that, you know, that power game of his and be accurate and putt as he needs to putt here. He has a great chance for sure. I mean, you know, he's won two U.S. Opens already. He was runner up at a PGA Championship. He is definitely one to watch, and he's fun to watch. I love his attitude. I love his enthusiasm. You know, there's not as much talk about LIV anymore. The PGA Tour is well past all of that, and I don't think there's any ill feelings anymore. You know, they've come to, PGA Tour players have come to accept that LIV players are LIV players and they just do their thing. You know, Brooks Koepka, it's good to see Brooks Koepka back on the PGA Tour. This is his 11th Masters, and he was a runner up here twice. So, you know, he was runner up to Tiger in 2019 and runner up to John Rahm in 2023. And this guy can play, so he can get hot at any given time. He hasn't been the Brooks Koepka that we're used to seeing as of yet. He's played in one, two, three,
we have
four,
seen
five,
some
six
flashes,
events.
Though. He's had some flashes, though, Ann, you know, so far this year.
Oh, yeah. Now, he missed the cut at the Houston Open. His best finish so far on his return here to the PGA Tour this season has been a tie for ninth at the Cognizant. But, obviously, you know, five major championship titles. He can win here.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped up. I'm looking forward. There's nothing better. And my all-time favorite hole is my favorite hole in all of golf. If I could play one, if they said to me, Beningo, there's one hole you can play anywhere in the world, it would be the 12th hole at Augusta. And I look at that hole, and it's this relatively short par three, right? You got the little creek there in front of it. You got the way, you know, the green kind of slopes down towards the little creek there. And how many guys, okay, you talked about Koepka losing to Tiger in 2019. Remember, he put the ball in the water there on 12. That's where it really changed for him. That hole, to me, I it's amazing to me how many guys have lost the tournament, lost the Masters on that hole. How about that hole?
I got a good story for you. It's called the Golden Bell, par 3, 155 yards.
Right,
the
right.
The first time I played Augusta National, and I've had the opportunity to play three times. The media can put their name in the lottery.
Right.
And then if you get picked, you have to wait 7 years before you can put your name back in the lottery. And believe it or not, I'm eligible this year to put my name in the lottery.
Well, hopefully you get in there, Ann. We hope you can get in there.
I hope so. The first time I got to play it, I had one of those old-time caddies, and we were on 12. I hit a wood, which is hard to get a wood to stay on the green.
Right.
The ball hit pin high and rolled into the bunker behind the green.
Right.
So what does the caddy do? He goes to the opposite side of the green near Race Creek, squats down, puts his hand in like a catcher's position, like he's, you know, a catcher on the baseball team. And I hit it right into his hands. He prevented the ball from going into Race Creek. I just thought that was funny.
That is funny.
It's very, very tough.
So you hit it out of the bunker, and you hit it too hard out of the bunker. I'll tell you, I am so fascinated by that hole. Because, like I said, so many people have – I mean, let's go back to – I don't think Jordan Spieth has ever recovered from putting the ball in the water on 12 when he had a chance to win back-to-back Masters. And I think Danny Willett wound up stealing the Masters that year from him. I'm fascinated by that hole, man. Fascinated.
It is one of the most scenic, iconic holes in all of golf. It is so breathtaking, but it is very, very tough. The green is relatively small.
Right.
And you don't have a lot
to work down.
With.
It slopes down to the creek too, right? Doesn't it? Right?
Yes, it slopes down. So you have to hit, if you go over the green in that bunker, you have to hit a perfectly placed bunker shot. And the greens are so fast, even if you hit a great bunker shot, the odds of it, you know, rolling down the green and into the water are, you know, those odds are pretty great.
Yeah.
So it's a very challenging hole, but boy, what a place to go and watch the Masters right there on the 12th.
One of these days, I got to get there. I mean, it's just such a wonderful golf course. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like them. Let me tell you right now, and I think you know this, there's nothing, if you are a golf guy, there is nothing. You know, the Open Championship's always great, you know, the different courses and all, but there's nothing like the Masters, nothing.
It is heaven on earth, and just walking around, it never gets old. Every time I walk around the golf course, and I'll be out there momentarily.
Now you're going to come on next week. You're going to come on Saturday next week when we're in the middle of the tournament.
I would love that. Of course,
you got to come on. Put it into your little book right now that you're coming on next week around the same time, like 8:20 again, as we get ready for the third round in the Masters. All right.
I will be there. There'll be so much to talk about. There's always compelling storylines, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Joe. You're the best.
Thank you, Ann. I love you. You know, you're the best, too. We got to play together one day. By the way, we played yesterday. My wife, I got to tell you this. My wife yesterday was on fire. I have never seen her play. She kicked my rear end yesterday. I have never seen her play as good as she played yesterday, Ann. I got to tell you.
I love that. That competition. Do you get upset or are you happy when she
beats you? No, I'm happy. No, I want her to play well. Believe me. When she's playing well, I'm happy. Even if I'm not playing great, it doesn't matter. When she's playing well, I'm happy. You know, she's got a big smile on her face and she's just out there letting it happen. And I love that. I really do. Love it.
That is so great. I love hearing that, Joe. Yep. Hey, hit them straight. Have fun. And here's to your wife beating you more often.
Thank you, Ann. By the way, let me say it again. Check out Ann's podcast, Talkin' Golf. It's available on the Odyssey app.